What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Double Tap. We are in episode 11. That is 1 past 10, just in case you're not keeping track. I am Dave, and with me, as always, is my homeboy,
Tony. How's everybody doing today? And 11 just happens to be our very first palindrome.
Palindrome!
Whatever the hell that means.
What is that?
Palindrome, same thing. Forward is backwards.
Oh,
you learned something today!
Like boob.
Yeah, we're learning.
Sweet.
Yeah, that's like boobs. I like palindromes.
I like palindrome boobs.
Hmm.
Concepts.
Very nice.
Anywho, so we've been crazy with work, and your boy Tony here has not been feeling too great, but now he's on the bends or the men's or whatever the hell it is.
Yeah, whatever you want to call it. I feel better.
Yeah.
As long as you don't breathe when you listen to this, you'll be okay. You won't catch it.
We're not contagious if you don't breathe. I don't even know what that means.
I don't even know what this is anymore.
What are we doing?
Life.
We're doing life? That's a big hole, my friend.
That is huge.
I don't know if I can fill that.
Let's jump in head first.
Do it.
But which head?
That's the question, isn't it?
That's the question.
So, another question that I have, sir, is what's in your box? What are you playing? What's on your mind? What's all about Tony right now?
Well, let's start with Diablo, Reaper of Souls. I'm working towards that platinum. Okay.
Again? Or still?
Still. Mm-hmm. I got one trophy left now.
Which is?
The most grindy trophy they have. 500 bounties. And you can only do 25 bounties, you know, because there's only 5 acts, 5 bounties per act. So each time you load up the game, you can do 5, go to the next act, do 5, go to the next act, do 5, and you have to quit out and then start all over. So it's pretty time-consuming. But I'm playing with my brother and another friend, and we're playing, and there's legendary gear, which everyone knows. There's a certain gear I've been trying to get forever, and I've got so many hours in this game. My brother just started playing on the PlayStation. I mean, he has less than 20 hours playing on PlayStation 4.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been trying to get this thing called the Herodic Hamburger, and it's exactly what it sounds like. And it's a weapon that looks like a hamburger, and it's a legendary item, and you can only get it in one place from a pinata. And what it is, it's Whimsydale or Whimsyshire. If you have the Staff of Herding, you can go there. If you don't know, the secret level in Diablo 2 was the cow level. Well, in Diablo 3, the secret level is Whimsydale or Whimsyshire if you use the Staff of Herding. Well, they have the portal goblins that you can get a portal to go to the Whimsydale. But if you have the Staff of Herding, go to Whimsyshire. But anyways, there's these pinatas throughout the level, and it's all rainbowy. There's like teddy bears and unicorns and all this other stuff. They try and kill you, and you kill them, and like blood explodes everywhere. It's just kind of a kiddie looking level. So I'm playing with my brother and my friend, and I keep going through, and I've been through this level multiple times. I still never get this drop. It is a rare drop. And my brother's like, oh, there's legendary on my screen. I just opened up a pinata. I was like, dude, I swear, if you get that legendary, I'm never playing Diablo again. And sure enough, that motherfucker picks up that gear. He's like, hey, look at my character. Look at my character. Look at my character. He has that motherfucking hamburger. I was like, this game hates me. This game hates me. I have no doubt in my mind I have close to 1,000 hours playing Diablo.
Right.
And this guy gets it, and he's got less than 20 hours. Man, I feel cheated. Blizzard, what's going on here?
Hey, don't feel bad, man. Bungie, and another group that starts with a B, seems to be the same way when it comes to Destiny, because I remember the very first time I ever took my brother into a raid, and he was such a noob, never done no raids, never done nothing, and he goes into the raid the very first time, gets all the weapons that I've been trying to get, 90% of the gear that is required to get you to the max level at the time, and then goes through the raid again, doesn't get to complete it, but then gets the rest of the gear that he needs and two more weapons that he didn't have before.
Nice.
And I had previously done the same raid about 20 times before him. And he goes into it twice and gets everything I've been trying to get. So maybe it's a thing with brothers that don't play the same game as we do a whole lot. And they just come in and get some shit and get to call it a day, because that's... life's not fair. That's all it is. Life is not fair.
Especially, they must have like a game genie or a game shark or something hooked up that we don't know about.
Well, my brother is a Christian, so maybe there is something to do with that. Maybe I don't pay enough. Although, I do say a lot of pleases when I'm going in this raid. Oh, like, oh God, please let me get this, or please let me get that. Doesn't work. God hates me too. Everything hates me. It's all good.
It's all good. But yeah, so in the Wii U, we've been playing Mario Party 10, and I gotta say, it's a fun game, but it's my least favorite Mario Party. They changed a lot on this one. They got rid of the coins, at least on the Mario Party part of it. There's like a Bowser Party, a Mario Party, and an Amiibo Party. And on the Mario Party, they got rid of the coins. There's only stars now. And if you remember before, you had to collect 20 coins to buy a star. Well, this one, you get 3 stars for, you know, your normal, I think, was it the blue ones before or the green ones before gave you 3 coins? Whatever, you get 3 stars now, and there's certain spots throughout the map that give you more than 3 stars. And everyone's in a car or a vehicle together. So when you roll a dice, everyone moves the same amount. Mm. And then after everyone goes, there's a mini game that you play, and then sometimes there's mini games hidden under the game piece too, so you can have multiple mini games within a turn, so... They kind of changed that up a bit. I don't like the fact that everyone's in the same car together. And the bonus stars, I swear the first game we played, there was 3 bonus stars. But my kids said there was only 2. I'm pretty sure there was 3. And then the last couple games, there was only 2 bonus stars. Now, I know for a fact that all the old Mario Party games had 3 bonus stars. Right. So that's something they changed. And the way the winnings work is completely random, because the first game... like, I was getting annihilated. My kids were just beating me. And then somehow I end up winning after the first... you know, after they do all the bonus stars, I end up winning. I'm like, now how does that work? And the second game, I'm like mid-range. My son's just whooping everybody. And I end up winning again. I'm like, okay, this is crazy. So the third game we play, I'm like smashing everybody. And then all of a sudden, I think my wife ends up winning that one. And I end up getting last place. I'm like... now, how does that work? So I don't know if it's the way they have the game set, you know, how to, now they have a feature for people to come back at the last minute kind of thing.
Right.
But, you know, I just wish it would, I wish they had more than just the stars. You know, the coins was a cool aspect. I wish they would have got rid of that. And then I don't like the whole vehicle thing. Like you said, the carbon copy party, I wish they would have kept it the same, you know, just put it onto the new system with the new graphics or whatnot. Just add a couple new mini games and just keep the same formula. The things that's worked before, don't do all these major changes.
Well, like I said, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, you know. And despite the fact that it's the same thing year in and year out, little tweaks here and there is okay, but don't completely rewrite the formula if it's already working. I haven't been a real huge fan of Mario Party, but it is fun, especially when we play with multiple people. And the times that I did play it, I did have a genuinely fun time when I was playing it in groups. And I think you were actually one of the people that I played it with in the past. And but the changes that you said, it doesn't sound like it's as tight, I want to say, or as well put together as the previous installments. So that's kind of a shame to hear. But I mean, to be honest, is Mario Party really one of Nintendo's blockbuster franchises?
Yeah, I don't know. It's definitely seemed like it's more geared towards the kids, though, now. Because being everyone together, it doesn't seem like it's more competitive as it used to be. It doesn't. Right. You don't feel that competitiveness in it. But I will say, we did play the Amiibo Party, and that's where you use your Amiibos. And it's a different, that's more traditional. They do have the coins in that, and you do pay the 20 coins for the stars. And you get your power-ups and all that. They still do have power-ups in the Mario Party version. And they have, like, a slow die and this, they have certain number die, like 0 to 1. Because sometimes you want to stay low. Because instead of a turn base, it's just once you get to the end of the map, it's done. It used to be before, it was just so many turns and you were, and the game's over. Well, now it's just once you get to the end of the map, it's done. Two on the normal. But on the Amiibo party, it's more traditional. You set the turns and then it's done. So, and then we played a little bit of the Batman, which is kind of a bonus game, which is actually really fun. It's kind of like Mario Tennis or whatever. Just Batman. You know what Batman is.
Oh, of course. It's where you get the shuttlecock.
Yeah, exactly. Shuttlecock. Shuttle you just cock. Really wanted to say cock, man. You ain't gonna lie.
No, I wanted to say shuttle.
So what have you been playing, Dave?
I can't remember if I covered this the last time or not, but I got my hands on Slender, the Arrival.
Yeah, you did talk a little bit about Slender.
Okay, so I played...
He was a big jerk.
He is a big jerk in a nice suit, and I don't understand that combination. Other than the Slender, I have still been doing Bloodborne.
Just cut you off real quick. I did buy Borderlands, the Handsome Collection. I still haven't opened it yet. Still sitting in the box.
You need to play it so you can let me borrow it when you're done.
It's on Xbox One, brother.
Oh, well, you know what?
You buy an Xbox One, I will definitely let you borrow it.
Or...
You buy an Xbox One, I'll buy you a copy of the Handsome Collection.
Or you could buy me an Xbox One, and then I could borrow your copy of the Handsome Collection. That's how that works. That's a good plan. So, other than that, yeah, Bloodborne. I have a very, very strong love-hate relationship with Bloodborne. I love it, but it hates me. So that's where our relationship is right now. I've found out through... many, many deaths at the hands of the bosses that I don't know shit, really. That I am completely inferior when it comes to harder games, but I'm getting there. I shouldn't say completely inferior because I'm about 5 bosses in now, or 6 bosses in. And the more I play, the better I get. And it's one of those things where it's like this... I know people out there have been already played Dark Souls and Demon Souls 1 and 2 or whatever... and those are, in their own right, some of the hardest games out there ever. But this is my first game that's like that. And coming right out the gate and, like, being able to get through, like, the first couple bosses without even dying, I'd say I'm doing okay. I think my learning curve is very well because I've been gaming ever since, like, 1985. And I feel like this is one of those games that can make me a better gamer. So if, for all you out there, all 10 of you now, because I think we've increased in numbers, if you ever question whether or not it's the games that are easy anymore, or if it's just your skill level of playing a game, try something outside of your comfort zone. And that's what I did. I Bloodborne was outside of what I normally do. It's an action RPG, basically. And I haven't really done anything like that in the longest time. The closest game that I could think of that was on a difficulty level of something that I haven't played since the old Nintendo days was like Fallout 3. That was pretty rough, especially if you didn't have the right gear or weapons or whatever. And so this was probably twice as hard as Fallout 3, if I'm just being honest. And I love some Fallout 3. But this game will kick you in the nuts and then spit on you while you're on the ground cradling your balls and then light your asshole on fire while you're cradling your balls trying not to swallow the spit that it spit on you. It's a pretty rough game.
That's pretty rough right there.
It's very rough. Like, not only does it kick you when you're down, but it shoves a rake up your butthole sideways. It's mean. This game is just the meanest bully I've ever experienced, but I like it.
I was going to say... with all that being said, why play it, man?
Because it's one of those things where I've came to a point in my game, and I'm using the quotation marks. You guys can't see me doing the finger quotations, but I'm doing the hell out of the finger quotations right now.
And she's loving it. I'll let you know that.
In my gaming career, finger quotation, I have played so many games, and out of all the ones that I've ever seen or been challenged to play, I'm like, yeah, I can do that, no problem, or whatever. And... you know, people are like, well, you've never experienced anything like Dark Souls or Demon Souls, and that's pretty hard, da 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 da. So I'm like, okay, I could probably do that too. But then I never did. I just never gave it a shot because it either seemed boring to me or it never interested me. But the theme of Bloodborne, how it's kind of in a, it's not modern, but it's more modern than what Dark Souls and Demon Souls were, because those were like knights and medieval times or what have you. And this is not really medieval, but there's, you know, wizards and different kind of mythical creatures like werewolves or whatever. But that kind of, the theme kind of interested me. And then on top of the gameplay where they said it was fast and it was very aggressive and you didn't have a shield to use this time around, which in a sense made it harder than the previous successors, like, you know, Dark Souls, Demon Souls, because in those games you had a shield to rely upon when you were about to get attacked. So in this one you don't, which in a sense does make it harder because you have to be on your feet all the time. Like, you have to be on your toes and react to the enemy's attacks. So hearing that this game was going to be, in a sense, harder than the games that were already hard enough to begin with, I was like, okay, as a gamer, I have to take on this challenge and I have to try it just to test myself, just to see if I can do something that, you know, people have been ranting about for the past so many years now. So I got to say that I'm glad that I accepted my own personal challenge in this, because there were times when I did doubt myself and I was like, God damn, I cannot get past this boss. This boss is a pain in the ass. It's killing me over and over again. But then I kind of would just implement my own strategy into it. And depending on what kind of boss I'm fighting, you really do have to change your strategy. And so far, what I've been doing has worked. And the last time we had broadcasted and I was playing it then, I was probably still at the boss that could heal herself, I believe.
Yeah, I remember you saying that she'd go hide in the corner or whatever and heal herself.
I'm like two bosses past her now. So it's one of those things, and that was like a week ago. So it's one of those things where the more you play it, the better you will get. But if you really want to know how good you are as a gamer, not like, you know, not in any one category, just as a gamer as a whole, then go out and get Bloodborne or rent it or borrow it or whatever. I would buy it, which I did. And that will separate the men from the boys, in my opinion, or the men from the women, or whatever analogy you want to use. But it's definitely a game that challenges you as a gamer and lets you know whether or not you can handle the big leagues, because this game will definitely tell you. You will either end up crying in a corner and jerking off to dreams of game saves of, you know, yesteryear, you didn't lose anything or whatever, or you'll be standing on top of Bloodborne victorious with one saw axe in the air and your blunderbuss shotgun in the other. So yeah, that's pretty much all I've been playing, and I will see it through to the very end regardless of how long it takes.
I'm sure there's gonna be some pretty good rage videos on some Bloodborne deaths, so I have to check some of those out.
I actually watched PewDiePie play Bloodborne for his first time out, and he got his ass handed to him. And that was another thing that made me feel good about myself, is because I watched him play the very first boss battle and the very first interaction he had with an enemy. And I gotta say, compared to PewDiePie, I'm like freaking Schwarzenegger from the 80s. Like, if you were comparing in terms of gamer skills, PewDiePie would be like Pee Wee Herman, and I'd be like Schwarzenegger. Like, that's because he got his ass handed to him. And my very first time out, I lasted like a good 5 minutes with the very first enemy you encounter. And keep in mind, you were at the most basic, like, this is your very first outing. Like, you're literally 30 seconds into the game with no weapon, you're barehanded. And you have no armor, no extra abilities, no items, no nothing. And I lasted 5 minutes with the first enemy that pretty much seems to be impossible to kill. I think you could probably do it because I got him down to about half health. But that's not bad. That was my very first time playing a game like Bloodborne. And I knew enough through several games in the past, like Onimusha, about, you know, dodging and counterattacking and things like that. But I lasted 5 minutes. He still ended up killing me, which was fine because I needed to go to the place that you end up going to anyway. And then on the first boss interaction that I had, I beat the boss in the first try. So, in your eye, PewDiePie. All I got to say about that.
So just some Bloodborne. That's all you got. That's all you got, Dave.
That's all I got, homie. All
right on, right on. Well, let's hop on into the news. One of the things I wanted to bring up, which I think is pretty comical, Rockstar blows up cheaters, man.
Yes.
Did you see that? Did you see that? Did you watch the video?
I watched a couple of them, and I can say Rockstar is restoring my faith just a little bit. I still refuse to buy GTA 5 for the PS4 only because I had it for the PS3, and I beat the campaign, did the multiplayer, all that, blah, blah, blah. But I have to give major props to Rockstar for actually doing something about cheaters. So go ahead, lay the story on me, homeboy.
Yeah, what it is practically it's like an armored car from the campaign, and there's a cheat somehow you can get it in the multiplayer.
Right.
And instead of patching the cheat, what Rockstar did is they made it so whenever the said player gets into the car just blows up, and then and it says that player committed suicide or whatever.
Yes. That's awesome.
And it's pretty awesome. So yeah, then I watched this one video, the guy did it, and then he came back, you know, his character came back to life, and he did the cheat again, and he went to go get in the car, and sure enough, he blew up again. I was like, that's awesome.
That is an awesome way to let people know that they're being watched, and I appreciate that.
So yeah, I think it's a neat way to fix a problem, but not fix it, you know?
Right.
I mean, the cheats, they could still do it, but not use it, in a sense. They think, oh, yeah, I got it in here, I'm about to use it, and then bam.
It's almost like the suicidal version of dangling a carrot. It's like, oh, yeah, sure, you could go ahead and try this, but the second you try it, your ass is getting blown to kingdom come.
Yep.
So that's pretty awesome.
So what did we learn?
Cheaters never prosper.
And if you cheat, you get blown up.
Okay. You get blown the flip up.
You get knocked out.
Right.
See, I bleeped that one out there.
My own censorship with the weakest bleep ever.
I should just clip that audio there and use that for every curse word. Yep, that's all we gotta do. We'd hear that every 5 seconds.
That would probably be bad. It'd probably be really annoying because I think I would even annoy myself after hearing myself. Which I do annoy myself after hearing myself after so long. But hearing myself bleep every 5 seconds, that'd be bad.
What if you hear yourself say yourself like 5 times within 30 seconds yourself?
Like I just did?
Yeah.
I'm already agitated.
I'm agitated for you.
Let's move on. What else you got before myself gets mad at myself?
It's all good. So, other news topic, the last news topic I wanted to touch on. Speaking of touching on. But anyways, Diablo 3, Reaper of Souls, new patch, 2.20. Yeah. Adds some new things. Adds 3 new treasure goblins, 2 new legendary gems, 2 new legendary potions, and new armor sets for the Demon Hunter, the Wizard, and the Barbarian. And that is live today.
Ooh, nice.
So, yeah.
Treasure goblin.
Treasure goblin.
One thing that I have stumbled across that I don't know if anybody is going to be interested in, but I know I kind of am because I've always thought the concept of this game would make for a pretty decent movie. Apparently, Warner Brothers has taken on the production of the Five Nights at Freddy's movie.
Oh, right. So
apparently, there's going to be a Five Nights at Freddy's movie, everybody. It says it will be produced by Roy Lee of Vertigo Entertainment, along with Seth Graham Smith and David Katzenberg, Jews, of Kat Smith Productions. They've put the project out to writers, it says, and it says that the creator, Scott Cawthon, I don't know how the hell to pronounce it, guys. Cawthon, I think, will be involved in some of the creativity of the game of the movie once it gets off the ground. So I don't know how many of you would be excited about that, but me, I always thought that'd make for a pretty decent scary movie. I mean, you got these giant freaking animatronics that are trying to stuff you into the metal frame of another animatronic while you're alive. So that's pretty freaking terrifying if you ask me. I mean, could you imagine going to Chuck E. Cheese and it's like 2 a.m. and all of a sudden you're seeing an animatronic Chucky running around trying to go into the security office where you're at just to shove your ass into another version of himself?
I mean, that's not what happens.
Basically, in the game of Five Nights at Freddy's, you are a new security hire and you're stuck in the security office all night long trying to basically prevent the animatronics from killing you via the method of stuffing you into another animatronic shell. But the problem with that is, I mean, you would think that being stuffed into a suit wouldn't be all that bad, but these suits are comprised of wire and metal framing and bolts and nuts, and it's not pretty, I imagine, if they get a hold of you.
Would you rather that or a wood chipper?
Probably a wood chipper. Okay. Just to be honest with you, because the wood chipper would be faster.
Right on.
If you go in head first. But, yeah, if you've ever seen the gameplay or even, like, still shots from Five Nights at Freddy's, these things are freaking creepy, man. Like, I imagine being stuck in a room with a Teletubby for an hour would not be as creepy as these some bitches right here. So, yeah. I don't know. Do you know of Five Nights at Freddy's? You ever watched anything?
I've never watched a stream of it, and I don't know. Is that a PC-only game?
I believe that is a PC-only game, and I know we don't cover PC stuff because there is, like, a infinite ocean of PC content out there.
I mean, we talk about PC games here and there, so, but...
But my...
It's not our expertise.
It's not our forte, for sure. Yeah. But the only reason I am familiar with it is one of my favorite YouTubers of all time, Markiplier, that he's, like, the self-proclaimed king of Five Nights at Freddy's. So he's done a lot of videos based on that game. And it almost makes me wonder whether or not he would be excited to hear about the movie. But I think it'd make a fantastic scary movie, especially since they've come out with crap like Unfriended. Are you freaking kidding me with this shit? A scary movie about being unfriended on Facebook? Fuck. For real? Like, God, people. We really need some better ideas.
I'm like, sorry, Stay Alive was the best one ever, so let's just leave it there.
Stay Alive?
You never watched Stay Alive. You've seen it.
No.
With the guy from Malcolm in the Middle. I think that was his name. Yeah, from Malcolm in the Middle. Stay Alive.
The game?
Yeah.
Okay, that was decent.
Yeah, that's
that
one where you die in the game, you die that way in real life.
That was decent, but...
My favorite part of the movie is where she, like... The witch or whatever, like, shuts the door to the van and the computer's in there. He's like, that's cheating, bitch. I was like...
Yeah, that was good. I will give it that. It had some pretty funny stuff in there. But I think it was because that movie in itself didn't really take itself seriously. So the fact that it wasn't, like, trying to be more serious than what it was made it okay for me. You know what I mean? It's like this movie, Unfriended, I just... It makes my butt clench just saying the title of this freaking movie. I can't even get into a huge conversation about it because rage mode will be activated. But a horror movie, and I'm doing the finger quotations again, a horror movie based on an experience that you could have on Facebook, like, I can't even.
It's all right, man. I mean, it's an original movie, though, at least.
Is it really? Because I probably think of some more original shit in the bathroom.
Well, I mean, everyone says that all the original ideas are gone, but...
Matter of fact, I'm going to write a horror movie right now about dropping a deuce, and I'm going to call it Flushed. There we go. There's a blockbuster for your ass.
Flushed.
See what I like it. There?
Now, if you can get some fan art for it, we'll get some supporters. It'll be all right.
I think Mr. Hankey will have a cameo.
I think you're on something, man.
He'll start off high, and then when he's about to murder your ass, he'll be like, "Hotter." Oh. Yeah.
I like it a lot.
Then he chokes you with his Santa hat.
That's fucked up. What do you give Santa a bad rap for?
He's the Christmas poo. He's got to choke you with a Santa hat.
That's still fucked up, man.
It is fucked up. All right, but anyway, speaking about other things that don't even exist yet, I had a person, I'm not going to divulge the name yet of this person because I don't know how public they want to be, But a guy had reached out to me and was like, hey, I am basically an indie developer, but not, I don't want to say indie, but he is independent. So I guess indie is the right word to use.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Indie developer, yeah.
But he's an indie developer of a game called ReK, kind of like DK, but, you know, with an R in front of it instead of a D. And basically the pitch of the idea for this game was a zombie first-person MMORPG. And it sounds really cool. From what he was telling me about, just little tidbits. I'm not going to divulge everything because you guys need to go check out his page on Facebook. But it's basically there's going to be like six different factions. They each have their own motivations for, you know, what they're doing in the post-apocalypse. And there's going to be like different, you know, it's basically an RPG but set in a zombie universe.
Yeah, it's set in like Rhode Island and... Yeah. Sounds interesting, and they're gonna fight against each other every day or something along those lines. It sounds like yeah. So. It sounds like he's got the core of it down, and it's just he's just getting the idea. He's got the ideas on paper, and he's trying to get it into the actual video game part of it.
But he wants to develop it for the major consoles like, you know, Xbox One, PS4, and he says right now he's using the PS4's, you know, technology because that's what he's most familiar with. So I just wanted to give a shout out to that for you guys to go ahead and go check out his page on Facebook, and you just go to the search bar and type in ReK, ReCay, and it's got a lot of promise. But if you guys ever wanted to be a part of something like a huge game that, you know, well, it's huge now, but back when it was in its pre-creation stages, that, you know, you were saying to yourself, oh man, I wish I would have got in on a part of that. This could potentially be one of those things. So if you're an aspiring artist or, graphic developer or anything else that could be game related, he is looking to expand on his team. So go check out the ReK page. And I said I wasn't going to divulge his name, but it's kind of hard to know who to address if you don't really know the name. But his first name is Brian. So go to the ReK page, look for Brian, or, you know, leave a post on the page for Brian, and see what you can either do to either be a part of it or promote it or support it or what have you, because it's one of those things where it's kind of a rare opportunity for anybody involved to get in on something that could, in a sense, be immortalized, because when you do a game, that's something, that's a part of you that you were a part of. And it, as long as it is playable, it's immortalized. Kind of like any movie or book or what, you know, what have you, any kind of entertainment that you could get your hands on, you're essentially immortalized in that piece of work. So that's all I got for that.
Yeah, okay. It's a zombie game. I love zombie games, and it's a MMORPG, so massive multiplayer online, that's even better. Just think Dying Light, but more people involved. So
now they haven't really
and then you're kind of pitted against each other, so it sounds like you got six factions against each other. So yeah, that could be interesting. So I'm kind of curious to see how he's gonna do it. I know other ones like not State of Decay, what's the DayZ, certain ones, like even when you're not in the game you can still be attacked. So I wonder how that's gonna work, if you're safe, if you're signed out, or if not.
I think H1Z1 is going to be that way too.
So he's got a lot of stuff on paper, and you know, he's got goals set, and it sounds like he knows what he wants to do. So he's just trying to work towards it. So it's not going to hurt anything to check out his page and put a like on there. He's just trying to get more awareness out there for it. So just trying to get some marketing, I guess.
Support.
Yeah, support. There we go.
I can see some of you people out there asking yourselves, why would you even, you know, give a shout out to somebody who hasn't even technically done anything solid yet? And it's one of those things where me personally, I feel like anybody who has a goal for themselves or any kind of aspirations and wants to get out there and has begun to work toward that goal deserves merit. And I feel like if you have a dream and you actually take steps toward completing that dream, that you should be supported. So that's why, for me on a personal note, you know, as you listeners who are listening to this, or if we get it on YouTube watching or whatever, Tony and myself have a goal for ourselves to get this as big as we could possibly get. One of our more immediate dreams would be to go to something like PAX or something like that. And so, as everyone knows, the first step to doing anything is to start it. And that's exactly what Brian is trying to do. He's starting off, and you know, he's a new developer, new, you know, indie guy. And I completely support that. So that would be the reason why, if anybody asks, well, why would you even give this guy the time of day? Just because. Why not give him the time of day? Maybe, for all we know, he might blow up. For all we know, somewhere down the line, he might be the president of EA. We don't know. So, you know, just like I said, if you get 5 extra minutes to meander on the internet, which we all know is what you're doing right now with us.
Yeah, you're probably at work right now, and you should be working, but you're listening. We appreciate it.
But some jobs I know, you get a chance to, you know, plug up your headphones and connect it to your phone and listen to random bullshit while you're working. Or if you get on a break and you need something to surf, go check it out. If you're not checking us out, check out Rike. So I appreciate that, everybody. Thank you for indulging me in this. So
I like the name too, Rike. That's pretty Rike. Catchy.
It is pretty catchy. You know, I didn't know how I felt about it at first, and I was like, oh, you know what? That is actually kind of clever. It's catchy. So I dig it. Rike.
But anyways, that game's not coming out for a while, so let's talk about the games that came out today.
Right.
And unfortunately, there's only one AAA game that came out, and that's Dark Souls 2, which already came out a long time ago. It's just a remaster for Xbox One, PS4, 360, and PS3. And it's that Dark is Souls. By your people from Software. Published by Bandai Namco Games. So, Dave, now that you played Bloodborne, do you think you'd try Dark Souls?
Absolutely not. No, I wouldn't mind. Giving the fact that, you know, Bloodborne is pretty punishing, but some people have actually said that they've played, you know, all of the From Software's titles, and they actually said Dark Souls 2
yeah
was the hardest out of all of them. So I don't know, I feel like if I get through Bloodborne and I don't have anything else to play for a while, I might go ahead and pick it up. But as we all know, there is going to be I want to say it's semi-well-known, it's semi-popular, but there's another game coming out here in this month that, you know, maybe a few people know about. It's called Mortal Kombat. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. It's kind of been around
for a while. Yeah, it just comes out in 7 days.
Yeah, so I might pick that up if, you know, enough people request me to grab it, because
I got something for you to grab, but anyways.
I don't like those small joysticks, sir.
That's all right, bud.
I'm not a very good fighting game player by any means. However, when Mortal Kombat 9 came out, I was ranked the top 100th player online in the world. So that's a small, you know, that's a small milestone for me, because I really don't play fighting games, like, hardly ever. Like, the last fighting game that I really, really, really loved was Dragon Ball Z Budokai 3, and that was because I was pretty much unstoppable in that game.
That just sounds dirty, man.
Budokai 3. Budokai. Get a hold of that Budokai.
Right.
But Mortal Kombat 9, I did fairly well, and I think top 100th out of, like, so many hundreds of thousands of people out there is not bad.
Yeah, it's not bad at all.
It's not bad. But in retrospect, I've watched the tournament players, and I traded my game in. So there's no point for me to play it anymore. Like, it was a fun game, and it was a lot of fun to play. But once I got through the campaign and did everything there was to do in game and played against a few guys here and there online, after watching the pro finger quote players, I was just like, there's no reason for me to have this. I'm just embarrassing myself by owning this game right now. So
Mortal Kombat's one of those games you just play to watch the fatalities, man. This is one of those games, like, wow, this is stupid fun.
It is one of those games where you watch it, or you want to get it for the brutality of it.
Yeah.
And I thoroughly enjoyed playing it, and I thoroughly enjoyed the new some of the new fatalities that I have seen. But it's one of those things where, like, if somebody bought it for me, I would definitely play the hell out of it. But I don't know if I could bring myself to buy it, because I just know that in a couple months, I probably would never pick it up again. So, but yeah, Mortal Kombat's going to be coming out. That was one of the things I was considering buying. But if I don't pick that up, I might get Dark Souls 2. Dark Souls 2.
It's like the first sin or some shit like that.
Dark Souls 2, The Return, again.
The Scholar of the First Sin. So other games coming out. Aruha's Awakening on PS4, PS3, and you get that free with your PlayStation Plus subscription. You get Tower of Guns for PS4, PS3. That is not free. Bastion on PS4. Elemental with a 4 for the A, which I'm confused about, for the Vita. Stealth Incorporated 2, A Game of Clones on the PS4 and the Vita. And Crinkle Crushers on the PS4, the PS3, and the Vita. And then for all you 3DS owners, on the 10th, you get Xenoblade Chronicles.
Ooh.
Dave, you ever played any Xenoblade games?
Is that the one where you're the warrior princess and you have a sword and a skirt?
Sure.
Sweet.
Yeah, I have no clue.
You probably didn't see what I did there, but that's okay.
That's right on, right on. But yeah, that's it for games coming out this week, Dave. I don't have a pick of the week, really. If I had to say one, I would probably say try Bastion.
Who's Bastion?
Bastion, that was the Xbox exclusive just now coming over to PlayStation.
No, you were supposed to say that's the name of the kid from the NeverEnding Story movie.
Ah, fuck that. Here's a spoiler, that story ends.
That does, yeah, so it is technically not a NeverEnding Story. It is an eventually ending story, that's what it was.
Right, they lied to you.
They did lie. Those dicks.
Yeah. So that's all I got, Dave. I got a question for you, Dave.
Yo.
What would it take, what game would it take to be an Xbox exclusive to make you want to buy an Xbox?
Ooh.
If they announced tomorrow that said game was Xbox exclusive, would it make you want to buy an Xbox?
You know,
is there such a game?
Man. I don't know. I've gotten to the point where I pretty much feel like if I can live without something, I don't need it.
That's so, what I was wondering. Is one game worth buying a certain system for? Or is it a series of games?
Here's a true story. There was once upon a time when I was a naive little teenager. I was probably about 13, maybe 14. Where I did buy a system solely on the want of one game, which was Resident Evil Code Veronica for the Sega Dreamcast. Oh,
the Dreamcast, yes.
Sega Dreamcast. So when I realized that this game was only coming out for the freaking Dreamcast, I saved up all my birthday monies and I ponied up for the Sega Dreamcast, which I eventually was not disappointed in having, but obviously it died very quickly,
yeah.
the life of that system. But they had some really fun games on there, like Power Stone. Power Stone was Smash Brothers before Smash Brothers was even born. So they had a lot of great concepts, like Blue Stinger, Power Stone, and then Resident Evil Code Veronica, which I eventually ended up did trading in my Dreamcast years and years and years ago. But I got a new one. I got another one. I actually got one back from a friend of mine, actually Black Cat 111. I was helping him move into his new place. And the previous occupant of the place idiotically just abandoned an old school SNES and a Sega Dreamcast. And I was like, snatchies. So
oh, right
I
on.
Stole them. Well, I didn't steal them. I asked him for permission first and said, yeah. But I got those. So now I have that back in my library. But as far as the Xbox goes, for them to create a game that would make me want to buy the Xbox just for this game, I don't even know, man. Like, there would possibly be one game, but I know for a fact they wouldn't do it with this game. But if they said Kingdom Hearts 3 was going to be released only for the Xbox One, I would curse the hell out of Square Enix every step of the way to GameStop to get my Xbox One. Every freaking not even every mile, it would be during every mile. God damn fucking Square Enix piece of shit. And you can re-bleep that out if you want, but that's just my honest opinion.
I got another question that'll blow your mind, and will never happen.
Okay.
Now, Nintendo needs some life, okay?
Right.
So Nintendo talks to Bethesda. It's like, hey, why don't you release Fallout 4 exclusively for the next Nintendo console?
Hmm.
What do you think that would do for Nintendo? Now, granted, Fallout is, like, completely opposite of Nintendo's marketing. Right, like, Fallout's definitely not a family game, and Nintendo's
all... But then again, neither was Bayonetta, you know what I mean? Like, or Call of Duty, or...
Mass Effect.
Mass Effect. So, I feel like that would help them for sure, substantially. Like, there would be so many people who would also probably be mad because they'd have to buy, like, the Wii U or whatever to get their hands on Fallout 4. But, like, even me, I would love me some Fallout 4. I would pre-order it, whatever, because I've been looking forward to it since Fallout 3. And I never even played New Vegas because I just felt like it wasn't...
Oh, my God, New Vegas was so fun.
Was it? See, I've been thinking about checking it out, but anyway, I knew it wasn't the direct sequel, so I wanted to play the direct sequel. So I never even gave New Vegas a shot. But if Fallout 4 came out and they had that exclusively for the Xbox, that, for me, just because of my personal preferences, would not be enough for me to want to get it. But like something like Kingdom Hearts 3 that I've been waiting on even longer, I feel like, I don't know, I know Fallout... No, it actually didn't. Kingdom Hearts has been out longer than Fallout 3 because Kingdom Hearts 2 came out on the PS2. So when Fallout 3 came out, that was on PS3. So yeah, I've been waiting on Kingdom Hearts 3 ever since before the PS3. So yeah, that would be a game breaker for me for if they said, hey, yeah, Kingdom Hearts 3 only for Xbox One. Then I would have a very bad day. But something like Fallout would not be enough for me personally to be like, okay, fine, I'll be a Microsoft. But that would probably be like the one thing that comes to mind. Like even God of War, like as much as I love Kratos and as much as I love the God of War franchise, if they said the next God of War is only going to be for Xbox, I would be like, well, I'll always have my fond memories of Kratos on the PlayStation.
Right, you know what I mean? Like, Kratos is a big pussy anyway, so...
What? Compared to who, God?
Anybody, man.
What?
Seriously, dude. Kratos is a big pansy.
I want you to this. You go into great detail right now for your explanation of this, because I see nothing. First of all, God of War is the first game ever to have had a three-way minigame.
I just wanted to get you on a rant.
God damn it, Tony. He bangs two chicks at the same time for points. Like, your argument is valued right there. Your entire fake argument is right out the window right in that one shot. Three-way minigame, that's all you need.
Oh, man.
But anyway, yeah, no, even that would not be enough. But, like, Kingdom Hearts, that would definitely break my, my celibacy of the Xbox for sure if Kingdom Hearts came out for the Xlax.
Well, it's been an interesting podcast, this one. We appreciate everyone for listening. And
it has been fun for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, stay listening. Definitely do that. And if you want to interact with us, please like us on Facebook, The Real Double Tap. So go to facebook.com/TheRealDoubleTap. Like us there, comment, whatever, interact. If you're playing a game on there, you're looking for someone to play with, put your PSN or your Xbox Live account name on there. Maybe some other people that are playing the same game, maybe they'll add you. We're trying to grow the community, so let's do that.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but we're also going to be creating our own individual, or not individual, but our joint Double Tap YouTube account here soon, so that way everything that we post, either past, present, or future, you guys can check it out, and there will be a ton of videos, because between Tony and myself, I know that we're making content like almost every week. Me, more along the lines of almost every few days because of, I recorded boss battles and whatnot for Bloodborne, and I just made three videos today, but they're not very long. One of them is literally a minute and 44 seconds long, but we'll be posting all that stuff together jointly on our Double Tap YouTube page when that gets up and running, and I'll also be posting the most recent videos that I made on our Double Tap Facebook page. So, yeah, I just wanted to throw that out there, let everybody know. And we will make sure that we post it on our Facebook page when that YouTube page is up and running. So,
yep. And go ahead and follow me on Twitter at TonyTheGamerGuy. Follow Dave at DeadpoolOrta. And yeah, that's really all I care about sporting out there today. Dave, you got anything else you want to add?
Yeah, you can check out some of my videos on Twitch, especially my Slenderman videos that I just did. I completed the last video last week or a few days ago. But yeah, check me out on Twitch under Wade Merc with a Mouth Wilson. And that's all ran together, no capitals or anything like that. And I think I have some Surgery Simulator stuff. I don't know if they've deleted it all yet or not, because they don't keep everything on there like they do on YouTube. So, but yeah, check me out on there. And then on Twitter, Tony already said it's Deadpool Orta. And yeah, that's pretty much all I got, Tony.
Yep, that's going to be it then. I should be back on Twitch here soon. I've been, you know, like they said, I was sick. So hopefully I'll get back on there this week. But yeah, we'll see you there.
Yep, and once again, everybody, thanks for wasting your time with us. We appreciate every single one of you. And yeah, y'all stay mellow.
Until next week.
We'll see you on the next cast, or you'll hear us, or whatever.
Stick together like butt cheeks, y'all.
Peace.
Peace.